It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Well, Mark.
Hey, good to see you. Good to see you via Zoom. And I guess this is the way you're doing a lot of your counseling now, is over Zoom or other online way. Is it always Zoom, or is it other methods as well?
It will just be virtual from now on. And a lot of people came south with me. So I'm already doing about 20 people a week, which is pretty quick as I, you know, fill people in about the movie. Just really felt God pulling us in this direction. And it's a faith thing. So I'm not sure what all he's given us a house. We can't move in for a few days yet, but so I'll maintain my license in Washington and it'll be virtual there and virtual here, and to hopefully to finish a book by the beginning of the year.
Yeah. You're a busy guy. This is quite a change for you, quite an adventure, but this is kind of the way you've been doing a lot of your counseling for a while, ever since the pandemic. A lot of people have been zooming in.
Yeah. And it's an adjustment for people, but it's working really well. Almost all of my clients came south with me. So, and it's working out. It's working out really, really well. So if people are a little bit shy of virtual, there's a little bit of an adjustment for a few minutes, but we still get some really good work done. And so today, I've done this in the past, but I'd like to just kind of hit the tops of some of the kind of the mainstay of what I do, so that people can kind of get, kind of a view of the forest instead of the trees. And I wanted to start off, Mark, with something we've done a little bit before, but I wanted to talk about, it's Bible-based counseling. And so that difference from secular counseling, and I had a couple of bullet points here as to how, and first of all, I guess, you know, coaching versus counseling. And I was thinking about earlier about counseling is probably on the spectrum, maybe a little more empathetic, although I'm an empathetic person. Yeah. But a lot of times people, where does it transition to coaching? And that's when coaching is a little more direct. And, if you think of a coach, if you're training for, any kind of a skill, athletic abilities or anything like that, coaching is going over the rudiments and entrenching the rudiments. And coaching in counseling is a lot like things have been taught and now we're just, you know, applying them. Mm-hmm. And it's more, you know, that way.
More directive. More directive.
More directive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I wanted to get on like Bible-based versus secular. So secular counseling is basically make the most of your life, your personal life, whereas Bible-based counseling is we're fulfilling God's purpose for our life. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And Romans 11:36, by him, through him, and to him, all things. And so we understand that life is an encounter with the sovereign purpose of God. Secular counseling would be to avoid suffering because it's damaging. And biblical counseling is the way of the cross. Suffering has a purpose. And so we talk a lot about that. And secular counseling would be about personal pleasure. And biblical counseling is about seeking his kingdom, his righteousness, and his salvation. And so those contexts are different. And then I'd like to kind of jump into like four things that I mostly see in my counseling, although it's all points in between as well. So these are like four of the mountaintops, but
you mentioned marriage, anger management, addiction issues, and of course, anxiety and depression.
Yeah. Right. And we've talked about these a lot, so we can dialogue about these pretty easily. Talking about marriage, and I talk about the purpose of marriage and the process of marriage. Most people come to counseling to deal with the process of marriage. How can we do things differently to make the marriage flow? But it's like trying to understand if a thing is running. You know, I use the analogy of going into an antique store and finding some curiosity, something very curious, and you you know, a helper is going by in the store and you raise this curious thing that you've got and you ask the question, what is it? You don't ask, does it work? Because whether or not it works is irrelevant if you don't know what it is. But a lot of times, typically people come to marriage counseling saying, does it work? And first of all, we have to establish, well, what is it? So we talk about the purpose of marriage. And then there's this dynamic in marriage that is the aspect of Christian marriage is building an ichad, which I will talk about just briefly. And then the enemy wants to drive a wedge between it. The ichad is basically that image of God. It's the ichad in Hebrew. But what it means is a unity of plurality. So that's the image in which man was made. And so the man and the woman, the marriage is to bring the man and the woman together. And that exposes our fallenness. And the reason that that's important is because we're calling Psalms 133. Where it says how blessed it is for brethren to dwell in unity and .. For there he commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so, of course, our goal is, it's interesting. Our goal is life forevermore. And the blessing of life forevermore is commanded in unity. And so this ichad, this unity of plurality is a dominant theme in all of Scripture. We see it in the joining of Judah and Israel. We see it in the joining of Christ and the church. We see it in the joining of man and woman. So there's that building of the ichad. But the reason people come to counseling is because the enemy is trying to drive a wedge between. He tried to drive a wedge between the Son of God and the Father in the temptations in the wilderness. He did drive a wedge between Adam and Eve. He tries to drive a wedge between the body of Christ and the Lord. We're trying to build that. And so a lot of times when I establish purpose, then we start talking about the process. And so what I do a lot in marriage counseling is, we've talked about the triad on the radio, the building of trust, forgiveness, and communion. We've talked about learning to like and learning to love. And one of the things, there's always resistance, you know, when we talk about learning to like and learning to love, because personalities being defense mechanisms and our fear and shame being a result of sin, there's always a resistance to the suggestion that we have to submit or surrender or be vulnerable or lay down our life. Always resistance. And one of the things that I've realized when in talking with married couples is that we really have to understand and embrace that biblical purpose of marriage, because in anything, whether you're climbing a mountain or going to war or any difficult task, the prize has to sufficiently outweigh the cost, because if it doesn't, you're going to throw in the towel. And so for people have to, you know, in marriage counseling, they have to continually refocus on the prize and the purpose of marriage. What is God trying to do in this? Because if we can't do that, there are too many emotional barriers I've often referred to marriage as a death experience, where it is about laying down your life. It's not just about having a successful business and an easy life and raising kids. It's about laying down your life for God's purpose, building that ichad, not only in your marriage, but Paul talks about in Ephesians how that, to paraphrase, that God works in the individual in order to work in the relationship, in order to work in the body of Christ. So there's that ultimate point of reference. You have to see the pearl of great price or the treasure in the field. And a lot of times that seems elusive to people, which is part of the reason why it's so difficult for them to embrace the sacrifices of marriage. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the marriage aspect of what I do in a nutshell.
And you're actually putting this into a book too, right? You're working on a book on the purpose of marriage.
Yeah, and I think when people contemplate the purpose of marriage, is just it just kind of blows people away because it, again, it isn't, you know, I talk about how that, in my view, this whole universe and these physical bodies, none of this was intended to last forever. It was all for an eternal purpose, which is that union of God and his created people. So when people understand that marriage has a purpose in a much larger, you know, that ultimate point of reference, that ultimate purpose, it just puts such a perspective on it that so many of our quibbles and our opinions and our preferences mean so little in light of what God is trying to do. And even that, you know, as Paul said, we just see that through a glass darkly, but it can be... it's essential to the embracing the process.
It's interesting. I mean, Jesus, that's one of his main analogies, even of his relationship to us as Christians, as the body of Christ, is the bride, the husband and the bride. So God uses the marriage analogy even as an example of his relationship to the church. It's pretty profound stuff. Well, okay, moving into another area that you deal a lot with, and that was anger management. I know when I've started doing these shows, you said that was kind of the beginnings of your counseling career. You were like a court-ordered anger management guy or whatever.
I did some of that. Well, you know, and I've shared before, and one of the things that I think people find a little bit unique about me is that I have no problem sharing my own experiences. I don't honor the couch the way a lot of counselors do because, you know, it's the body of Christ and none of us are perfect. And I've had people speak appreciation for the fact that I'm not adverse to, you know, sharing from my own life. And I do consider myself kind of an anger guru because I struggled with it so much in my early life. And, of course, my marriage was a big part, marriage to my wife and her role, big part in helping me to overcome that. But I figured some things out, and I'm able to help people a lot with that, not just book learning. In fact, not book learning, but personal experience. You know, anger, when people come for anger management, we talk about everyone has fear and everyone has shame because of the fall. And we go into that, you know, it's because of our mortality. And, people say, well, I'm not afraid of death. And we go around and around and around about that sometimes. But everybody has fear because we're mortal. And if you think you don't fear death, at least it's, you know, there's that need for value, control, and power. And everyone has shame, a question of personal worth. And so anger is a response to that. Get into a little more, probably let's see here, a break coming up. And so we'll continue with that and the other two. So I should probably say here and remind people that I will maintain my license in Washington. I'll be doing virtual. I've had some calls from people that that was a bit of a surprise for them. I have to change up the website a little bit, but virtual works pretty good. For one thing, you don't have to drive to Arizona from Seattle, right. So that'll save you some time right there. But there's a bit of an adjustment, but it works good. So if you like the message, we can try that out. Contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. The phone number is still 425-778-6169. That'll remain the same. 425-778-6169. Offices via Zoom.
Via Zoom now in the virtual office with Daniel Breyer. It is the Sound Mind broadcast. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Breyer with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Breyer. And now your host, Daniel Breyer.
along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast live via Zoom this week as we are moving into a new phase of Daniel's program on KCIS. It'll all be from Zoom. Of course, we air a lot of best of shows as well. Those are evergreen content. All of your podcasts are available at your website too, right, Daniel?
Yeah, BibleBasedCounselor.com. There's a lot of years of radio there. And I also have articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com that address some of these issues too, and other issues. So people are welcome to visit ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Yeah.
Are you going to?
So we were talking about anger.
I was going to ask, are you going to start getting clients there in Arizona as well now, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, I'll be licensed down here. I've got to wait till we move into our house on the 1st, and then I'll get my address down here, get licensed down here, and that'll all be virtual too. Again, you know, my one of the things that I believe God moved us down here for, among other things, is just to. One of the things I will be doing is really trying to get this book out by the 1st of the year. So I don't see myself having an office from here on out. That just save myself time commute and just to have my own space there at the house where I can do the radio shows and the counseling.
Great. Well, it's a great new adventure for you too, and God bless you. But you do have a lot of roots here in the Northwest, a lot of clients through the years. You said at least 20 of them have already followed you online to Arizona.
Yeah.
That's a pretty full schedule. Is that 20 people a week that you talk to? Or?
Well, 15 people this week so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And new people too. Yeah. So that's been good. Yeah.
Well, that's a busy schedule. Well, again, we're kind of focusing in on the bread and butter of what you do. You do marriage counseling, anger management, addictions, and anxiety, depression. You wanted to continue a little bit more on the anger management stuff.
Right. One of the things that people have heard me before, one of the things that I talk about, a model that I have is called Life Perspectives. And it's based on the idea that because we all have fear and shame, life is, in effect, a pursuit of value, control, and power. Everybody wants to be valued by people that we value in the context of something of value. Everyone wants to control circumstances and situations that impact their life. And everybody wants power or resources, and those things kind of flow together. There, the three are kind of intertwined. And so, I have like in this model, like basically three categories: pursuing value, control, and power in what I call the smallest world perspective through immediate gratification, where that would be all of your addictive kinds of behaviors. And a very, very small world. I refer to that as the small world. Not a lot of friendships, not a lot of challenges, maybe none. A lot of addictive behaviors, procrastinating, wasting time. And of course, when you're not moving forward in life, one of your tools is to find fault with people who are. So you're isolating And so anger is the losing side of the pursuit of value, control, and power. It's very fear and shame based. It's very self-serving. So when I teach life anger management tools, life management, anger management tools, we talk about the inbox. You know, where is the anger coming from? Where is the fear and shame coming from? And one of the things we talk a lot about is how that every behavior, which anger is a behavior, flows from an emotion, which answers to a belief. So beliefs, emotions, behaviors, BEB, beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And so a lot of times people ask, well, you know, if I'm getting angry, is there something I can say or something that I can do to kind of arrest that immediately? And I teach, you got to get into your upper brain. You've got to get away from the lower brain. You've got to get into the upper rational brain.
The lizard brain.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get away from the lizard brain and get a little higher. And so there are some analogies that I use that are helpful. But really what we're doing when we start to try to control our behaviors, we're immediately addressing our emotions because the behaviors answer to the emotions. And ultimately, we're questioning our beliefs. We all have beliefs about our safety and security, and most of them are not true. You know, if someone passes me on the freeway and they're rude and I get angry, That's because I have a belief about my safety and security that somehow that person has threatened it. And people say, well, he might be driving reckless. But other than that, just the rudeness, if that threatens me, that's because I have a belief about how they affect my safety and security, which is not a true belief. Mm. And so we're questioning our beliefs. There's a lot to that. Just hitting the tops of anger management, but I do an awful lot of that. And anger is ubiquitous in our cultures and our society and in our lifestyles because fear and shame is ubiquitous. Addictions are another thing that we talk about. Addictions are a form of anger because they're part of that defense mechanism and they're on the losing side of our pursuit of value, control, and power. And so it's in that smallest world, pursuing value, control, and power through immediate gratification. One of the first things I talk to people about when they come with addictive behaviors is addictions are the opposite of relationship. And so when we're dealing with addictions, we're also dealing with relationships. You have to be pursuing in this value, control, and power or life perspectives model. You have to be pursuing challenges and relationships in order to grow your world. The smallest of those perspectives, as I said, is immediate gratification. If I'm growing my world, I will enter into a larger life perspective, which I refer to as the external, which in which case I'm pursuing value, control, and power through acquisitions and achievements. That's the American dream, and that's very competitive and very up and down, ultimately.
And you believe that addictions are both substance addictions and behavior addictions. Both can be a pathology that needs correction.
Right. Yeah, and ultimately they're neurological. And again, back to the BEB, you know, the addictions are behaviors which follow emotions, which follow beliefs about my safety and security. Mm-hmm. So you have to grow your world to get out of these addictions. You have to pursue challenges in relationships. You know, a lot of addictions are what they have in common is lack of purpose, lack of vision. And of course, Proverbs says with where there's no vision, the people wander aimlessly or the people perish. So we need purpose and vision in life. And again,
and hope, as
stated before, it has to be not just a temporary vision or purpose, like I want to be a better bowler or, you know, I want a better boat. There has to be an ultimate point of reference, and it has to be anchored in spiritual reality. Mm. And that brings us back to God's purpose and the purpose for creation and the purpose for our lives. We have to win the dopamine battle when we're fighting addictions. So there's got to be something, you know, scripture talks about delight yourself in the Lord. And we have to find that delight where even the thought of scripture, the thought of the presence of the Lord creates dopamine in my brain. Because if the only thing creating dopamine is my attraction to this addiction, it's going to be a losing battle. So we have to control our thoughts. You know, the Bible talks about laying up treasures in heaven and setting our affections on things above. That's an uphill climb for believers. Not natural to our earthly existence. So that's kind of a cultivated taste, if you will. And so,
I've heard from a Christian standpoint, a lot of times addictions are basically just a form of idolatry.
Well, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a spiritual issue.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes self-worship because it is immediate gratification.
Well, we only got a couple minutes left here. You also touch on anxiety and depression. That seems to be, a lot of times people think that's the main thing you get counseling for as an individual, is anxiety and depression.
It certainly accompanies all of these. And again, anxiety and depression are very much associated with anger. Again, the fear and shame, the world getting smaller or larger. It's a spiritual signal, really. Anxiety, and I've often talked about those as a call to prayer. I think as Christians, we have to recognize them as that what they signal is that there's something in the spiritual realm that's troubled. It's a matter of oftentimes it's a matter of perspective and focus. Again, behaviors, emotions, beliefs, emotions, behavior. One of the things we have to, faithful is he who has begun. That's Philippians, I believe it's the first chapter or sixth chapter, Philippians. I had to jot it down here and I put it aside. But he's faithful. I talk to people a lot of times. I don't know of anybody, I don't think you do either. I don't know of anybody who I've known who has passed away into the next life who I would have considered a complete Christian. Everything ironed out, all the sins gone, all the frustration. And yet the scripture says that Christ is faithful to complete the work. And so if I don't call it completed, but Christ does, what that shows is that I don't know where we're going. He does. He knows when he's completed. A lot of times I think we look at our lives and say, I'm failing. But God says that he is faithful to complete what he's. And so sometimes I think we have to just rest in that perspective. Mm. Building a toolbox with scripture worship, serving and fellowship. A lot to that. But those are basically the four, and I guess, the four high tops and all points in between. So that maybe gives people a little bit of a...
Well, those are the main areas people struggle with. They seek counsel, they seek coaching, and life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. How do people get in touch with you and work with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number will remain the same, even though we're down here in Arizona now. 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, BibleBasedCounselor.com. There you can email me through that website, and articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
Okay, Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.